it's only at this time of year, we're still guaranteed, like whether you go to church or not, you're gonna hear the account of Joseph and Mary and the birth of Jesus. You know, so we get to know more of the details about the what. But today, just in the next few minutes, I do want to talk about the why. You know, really why Christmas matters. Why Christmas matters. So if you're our guest today, and you're just checking out Christianity, or maybe you're returning to the faith of your childhood, or maybe you're not even sure that there is a God, you're welcome. You know, you're welcome with your doubt, your uncertainty, questions, and we pray that God will reveal the truth about himself to you. And for those who are a part of our congregation here in Brooklyn, I hope that we too can gain a deeper faith in God as we study out the why. You know, why Christmas matters. And look at John chapter 1. We're going to read, starting at verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. Verse 10, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me. From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. You know, this is one of my favorite passages, just how John, he harkens back to the book of Genesis and the style of his writing, but just beginning, there are just a few things I want to point out. I don't have any traditional points, and I want to be as brief as I can so we can get back to singing, amen? But the first thing about why Christmas matters is that God gives us his word, and in the beginning of this text, it says that in the beginning was the Word. You know, the Word, you go back to the Greek, it is the word logos or lagos, and it's where we get the word logic from. So literally, when God gives us his word, we have a rational argument for God. You know, when you think about having the word, it's the life of Jesus that makes the rational case for God. You know, we're called to faith, we're called to believe a lot of things, but in the birth of Jesus and sending God in the flesh, God is making a case for himself. He is making a rational argument about who he is. Some other commentators describe it as really Jesus came so that we could have the mind of God, so that we could understand God. But God still provides a logical argument about who he is. The answers are found in Christ. You know, the word also, it defines. You know, you think about people that you know, or people in your neighborhood, or people that you take the train with and you see kind of frequently. You know, we go from seeing somebody around to knowing them once we have a conversation or some sort of introduction. You know, this is my name, what's your name? And you start talking, and that's when later on you can kind of say, okay, I know that person. You know, because the words actually define who you are. It gives you a sense of who that person is. You know, so it is with God. So God gives us his word. But God also gives us a new perspective. If you look at verse 9, it says, the true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. You know, it stops right there. You know, even as Jesus walked the earth, there are many who could not see God's rational argument in front of them. You know, God came near, and he actually came so close that for some it's hard to see who God is. You know, but it's all about perspective. You know, I think about, 1961, when Yuri Gagarin became the first the cosmonaut to go up into space. And when he came back down, the Russians, that's kind of set them firmly on being atheistic, because they said, well, we went up into space, but we didn't see God. And, you know, that sounds kind of simplistic, you know, but it still is about perspective. And there's a story that a Hungarian writer wrote. It might be true, but just listen to this. In a mother's womb were two babies. One asked the other, do you believe in life after delivery? The other replied, why, of course, there has to be something after delivery. Maybe we're here to prepare ourselves for what will be later. And nonsense, said the first. There is no life after delivery. What kind of life would that be? The second said, I don't know, but there'll be more light than here. Maybe we'll walk with our legs and eat with our mouths. Maybe we'll have some other senses that we can't understand now. And the first replied, that is absurd. Walking is impossible. And eating with our mouths? Ridiculous. The umbilical cord supplies nutrition and everything we need. But the umbilical cord is so short, life after delivery is to be logically excluded. And the second insisted, well, I think there is something, and maybe it's different than it is here. Maybe we won't need this umbilical cord anymore. And the first replied, nonsense. And moreover, if there is life, then why has no one ever come back from there? Delivery is the end of life. And in the afterlife, there is nothing but darkness and silence and oblivion. It takes us nowhere. Well, I don't know, said the second, but certainly we will meet Mother, and she will take care of us. And the first replied, Mother? You actually believe in Mother? That is laughable. If Mother exists, then where is she now? And the second said, well, she's all around us. We're surrounded by her. We are of her. It is in her that we live. Without her, this world would not and could not exist. And the first said, well, I don't see her, so it's only logical that she doesn't exist. To which the second replied, sometimes when you're in silence and you focus and you really listen, you can perceive her presence and you can hear her loving voice calling down from above. That's probably not a true story. But, you know, it's all about perspective. You know, I want you to think about what could it be that God is doing in your life right now that you just can't see? You know, it's right in front of us. The same way that the word was in front, you know, that the light shines into the darkness, but the darkness does not get it. What is God doing in your life right now, whether it's difficult or it's challenging, and you don't really understand why, and you don't see God's hand in it? You know, sometimes we can be so smart that we can't learn anything new. And that's a scary place to be. But it is all about perspective. But also, God is approachable. In verse 14, it says, the word became flesh. And just think about that. God goes from spirit to human form, and he becomes vulnerable. How vulnerable can that be? That God goes from being God, the creator of everything, to being a baby. And what flesh or what human is more vulnerable than a baby? that the creator of the world has to trust his very existence in this earth to his creation. Wow, that's pretty intense. You know, God, Jesus ultimately can relate to our struggles and our challenges, you know, because he's been there. You know, God became tangible. So God in the flesh means that he can be hurt, he can be harmed, ultimately he could be killed. You know, that is absolute vulnerability. And God took extraordinary effort to connect with his creation, you know, to take on human form and to have all the experiences that, you know, you ever wonder what it could be like for Jesus being God in the flesh to actually feel something like sunlight on his skin? You know, God is spirit. That had to be a new thing for him. But there's so much to it that God takes on this new form. He goes to extraordinary lengths to connect with us, which leads just to the next point that because of Christmas, because of the birth of Christ, we can have fellowship with God. You know, later on in that verse, it says that he made his dwelling among us. And John uses a word that literally means, that phrase literally means that Jesus tabernacled among us. You know, you think about what the tabernacle meant in the Old Testament, that as that was among the people understood that where this tabernacle is, God is there. And John says literally that he made his dwelling among us, that he tabernacled among us, that it was God who was in the flesh among us. You know, he wanted to make it clear that this was God. And he says that we have seen his glory. You know, think about why we sing even around this time of year, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. That literally just means covered in flesh, we can now see God. That's amazing. It was amazing 2,000 years ago. It's amazing for us now. God went to great lengths to get close to you. He went to great lengths to get close to me. Now we've got to do what it takes to be close to God. You know, and if you have no relationship with God, if you've never studied the Bible, if you've never repented of your sins, if you've never been baptized, then you got to figure out what does that take? What does it entail to really get close to God? You know, if you're a disciple today, well, what does it mean to continue to be close to God? You know, the very simple basics are important. The basics of reading our Bibles, praying to God, having that communion, that fellowship with him. He came down in the flesh so that we could do that, so that we wouldn't have, you know, it's the law that came through Moses, but we've got grace and truth through Jesus. And it can be so simple, and we could take it for granted. We could take for granted the fact that God wants to actually have a relationship with us individually. Yes, you, when you're at your home, when you wake up in the morning, and it's just either you and your Bible, you know, or it's you and CNN, you know, the temptation can be there. You know, but we set our priorities because the relationship should be the most important thing for us. God allows us to have fellowship with him. But lastly, because of that, salvation comes through Jesus. And I think I may have mentioned this already. Verse 17 and 18, for the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. Jesus makes God known. You know, this is why Christmas matters. God sends Jesus to us so that we can have the chance to be saved. You know, only through Jesus do we perceive and ultimately receive God. The author of life has been at work in each of our lives, working to reveal himself to us. You know, but again, it continues to be about perspective. And the author of life is working in our life. I want you to think about something like Star Wars. How much would Luke Skywalker know about George Lucas? Nothing. Unless Lucas wrote himself into Star Wars and something about himself, you know, there'd be no way to connect those dots. You know, but there's an author. Her name is Dorothy Sayers. She's a well-known aristocratic British novelist. She wrote about a dozen mystery novels between World War I and World War II. And she was incidentally one of the first women to get a degree from Oxford. So her novels were usually murder mysteries starring an amateur sleuth named Peter Wimsey. And the character Wimsey was a well-intentioned but eccentric guy who fell into these crimes and plots and somehow managed to solve the cases laid out in the novel. You know, that could be like a TV show on ABC. You know, it could be Castle or something like that. But Dorothy Sayers gave a great deal of development to his character in her novels, and he became the star of the books. You know, so at some point, she also introduced into the novels a character named Harriet Vane. So interestingly, she was depicted as a mystery writer, educated at Oxford. Sounds interesting, just like the author. She had an on-again, off-again relationship with the Wimsey through several books. But during the course of the novels, they got married, and they enjoyed a long season of domestic bliss. And Wimsey's troubled life was rescued by his marriage to Harriet Vane. And so it's an interesting thing. You know, this author, Dorothy Sayers, fell in love with this character that she wrote, and then she wrote herself into the story in order to rescue her protagonist, Peter Wimsey. And that sounds very touching, but it's precisely what God did. God looked down at his creation. He looked down at us. He looked down at you. He looked down at me, and he saw that we needed saving. And he wrote himself into the story of our lives to rescue us. He looked at your life, and he wrote himself into that script. Now, that is why Christmas matters. The logic of God changes our perspective. He makes himself approachable. He calls us to fellowship so that he can save us. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, God, we love you. We thank you so much for just how far in advance you thought about our lives and how deeply you love us. We thank you so much for Jesus coming, living a life of a great, pure example and sacrificing himself so that we could actually be connected to you, God. We pray that we will never take this for granted. We pray right now for the bread that represents his body, for the fruit of the vine that represents his blood. And as we meditate on all of that and we think about Christmas and what the meaning is of that, we don't want to lose sight of everything during this time of year. We want to remain focused on Jesus and his love for us and all that he did for us. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.